So, you know, we look at the joy of the Lord. We looked at this last week, Thanksgiving service. You know, time flies by. Looking at the joy and thanksgiving in Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5. And it was not just once a year, but it's a continual time that we give thanks and praise unto the Lord. Even when times are hard, you know, God answers our prayers. As we look in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 9, he says here, and this I pray, you know, when we pray, it's regardless. God hears, you know, I'd rather hear this from people, no prayer at all. So what do you mean? Actually, when you're living it, you're praying about it, right? You don't have to sit there and pray. Yes, there is a time to pray, like it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to do this, a time to do that. But if you're living it, you're praying through it. You're stepping out by faith. And regardless how hard it is, and I'm saying to some people here today, you've had a very hard week, God gives you the joy. You've been faithful. God has counted you blessed. You are blessed. It's tough, and the tears have been shed, and the disappointment and the stress is there. But you are an example to me, an example to this congregation. Keep on doing what you've been called to do. The week before last, we looked at the beginning of Philippians, and we looked at here how, you know, this book is all about joy. And I want our joy to be complete here every day. Say, how do I start with that? Well, you know, we look at Paul's example when he prayed in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more. And, you know, he did not complain or grumble. He did not question God and wonder why he was in prison. You know, the title of this message here is called For the Record. Paul had a long record. He was so much in trouble with the law, with the magistrates, different people. He was a wanted man. And yet, you know, he might have been, even if it was today, be on the FBI's most wanted list. But, you know, the man is serving the Lord, and that's what counts. Doesn't matter what happens in life, as long as we're following the Lord, as long as it doesn't go against God's law, we are free in Christ to do what we are supposed to do. And yes, we are supposed to listen to what our government says, but if it exceeds that, we have to follow the Lord. And that's what's gone through a lot of Christians in bygone years. They've been persecuted and so on and so forth. Paul was in jail. He was there for 2 years. And the man was the complete opposite of what we'd look at as, oh, poor me, poor pitiful me, pity me. And please, I'm not talking about people who have been wrung through the washing machine, so to speak, who've been through countless trials and tribulations. I feel like I'm just hanging on the clothesline today. I'm just getting a breeze. Well, I hope this is probably the wrong time of year to use that illustration, but you know what I mean. You just feel like you're hanging out there to dry because you've been through so much. I have seen miracles. I tell you, I saw a miracle last night. I'm not going to mention whose name, but this person is just fabulous. Wonderful how God used that person's gift in spite of the difficulties that person has. But Paul is there, and he's praying to the Philippians. He was close to them. You know, as you notice in the beginning of chapter 1 in Philippians, he doesn't use this Paul, the apostle. You know, they knew who he was. They loved the man. You know, it wasn't about the gifts and the trials and tribulations that they were all going through in the church like we have today in all churches, at least some of them. But, you know, these people genuinely loved Paul. And so it's just a joy. And I hope that is our prayer today. It's just a joy to be, you know, it's not like a hi and goodbye. I was teasing one of our deacons. It's a hi, bye, because we're busy on Sunday mornings. But it's a joy just to be around people And we know it's for real. And as moving on here, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more to the knowledge and discernment." We need discernment today. There is a celebration going on today down in Mexico this next couple weeks. It deals with the Virgin Mary. And with the Roman Catholicism, what they do every year around this time of year in December, about 9 million Catholics get together and they get on their knees. I'm not going to do it this morning, but they get on their knees to the Virgin Mary, which is just a statue. And our discernment and knowledge knows that that's all wrong, because that's idolatry. It's just like if we had, you know, a saint here, which we looked at last week, what a saint was. I'm not going to get into that. But basically was worshiping that saint. And that's all kinds of wrong, because our worship goes to God. Anyway, what they do by work salvation, they get on their knees and they shovel along on the floor, like out to where the idol is, and they pray. And they think that that gets them closer to heaven. But you got millions of them, because apparently there was a man named Carlos Diego, who back in 1531 saw a vision. So everybody believed that. Be careful with, you know, just as it was in Paul's day, be careful about your discernment. And I'm very thankful that we're wise unto the craftiness of the devil. And so, and you have other people today too that follow into the wiles of the devil. You have the Church of Satan, which started in 1966 under Anton LaVey in San Francisco. And you had his daughter who took it over. But it's interesting, my point is that when this man, Anton LaVey, he had discernment too, and on his deathbed he says, and he told his followers this is recorded, this beginning of Satanism and worshiping, he says, you know, something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong. Something's not right. And things are all wrong, and then he was gone. But that's why God wants to give us discernment today, because there are people that follow after the wrong thing. And, you know, we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul's saying, I'm praying that you will have more knowledge and more discernment. Watch out. There are things out there that will grab you. Don't let your guard down. Don't backslide. The idea is just letting yourself go. Grab a hold of yourself, get yourself under control, and go. Run the race this morning. So he says, that you may approve the things which are excellent. You know, when we look at something that is excellent, it has the idea here of something that is sincere. Something that is sincere, where we get the word, the idea of sifting something through. You know, sometimes you need to understand yourself better. It's like, for example, Daniel. Daniel had a excellent and a sincere spirit with him. They were saying, what kind of spirit that man has? I want to follow that person. I challenge you today to follow people who are following Jesus Christ. Be very thankful that people are just, we had two ladies come in this morning. I was like, make sure you don't keep on walking out the back door. They were talking and chattering. They had a wonderful time. I thought, this is great. You know, we need to encourage one another. So what things are good and decent, and honest, and of a good report? Then you have here too, and without offense until the day of Christ. We don't want to be offensive to people today. I'm very careful around Christmas time, especially this time of year, not to criticize the Christmas tree. Somebody said the other day, I was talking to them, they said, well, you know, the Christmas tree, that's from pagan origin. I'm like, Really? I was like, we have the freedom in Christ to enjoy what we have as long as we don't sin against God. We have that liberty. But I said, that Christmas tree, you know, I think about this song, "Oh Christmas tree, oh Christmas tree." You know, I look at all the good in it. I don't look at tearing things down. People are quick when they're not happy and they're very sad people to tear other people down and just crumble them up like a piece of paper and throw them in the trash can. It's very sad, but you know, it's a very glorious time. And so we need not to be offensive until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ into the glory and praise to God. So we look at the Trinity again. The Trinity is spelled out here, the fruits of righteousness, the Holy Spirit. We have, which are by Jesus Christ and to the glory and praise of God. So there's five requests that Paul is telling his loved ones. To increase in love and in knowledge and all judgment. Number two, to approve the things that are excellent. Number three, with sincerity to the end. Number four, without offense to the day of Christ. And number five, filling the day and filling with fruits of righteousness. So we need to be filled up. And so, you know, Paul did have a record. He had a record that was sincere with Christ to the day of him going home to be with him. I pray that that is our letter that we write to God today. Sincerely in Christ, or that we're genuine in Christ. We are genuinely, you know, in Christ. We really mean it. And goes on to say here that verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. In Acts chapter 28, it says this, therefore let it be known to you, he writes, that in the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he has said these words, the Jews departed with a great dispute amongst themselves. They remembered what happened back, going back 3 years before that in Acts, when Paul had originally went to Jerusalem and he had taken that love offering from the churches and he went to Jerusalem. And while he was there, there were some people that made up lies about him. And he had told the crowd, before the crowd tore him apart, because once the lies got started, once the gossip spread, you started getting people angry and upset. And what happened was, is that Paul was like, wait a minute, let me have a chance to speak to these people. So he gave his testimony. He told them about on the road to Damascus and what happened to him. But you had a problem there. You had two different sects there. You had the Pharisees that believed in angels, and you had the Sadducees who didn't. And Paul was right in the middle, and the Pharisees were saying, we don't have time to get into this, but he said, look, this man speaks like he's from an angel, or an angel speaking to us. And, of course, with the Sadducees, they were like, we don't believe in angels. So that's how the fight started. And the centurion said, look, he said, I'm getting you out of here, Paul, because if not, this crowd's going to pull you to pieces. And literally, if we get ourselves between people, you got to be careful just to back off and not get pulled to pieces verbally. So Paul went on from there, and he visited different leaders. There was Felix, there was Festus, there was Agrippa, and finally Caesar. Remember, Paul was a Roman citizen. So that centurion, when he took him out of the crowd and let him get away from all that, and actually he was shipped across the Mediterranean up to Rome, where he is now. Paul had been through a lot. And by the time he got there in Rome and under house arrest waiting for Caesar's judgment, Paul was remembering what happened to this church in Philippi. Remember in Acts 16 with the Macedonian call. Like we talked about in Sunday school, you have a calling today that God has called you to do. Don't compare yourself with somebody in the past, somebody that you might know of in the future, somebody now. You just compare yourself with Christ. That's why we have our Lord's Supper today, to compare ourselves with Christ. And that is why, like we were looking in Corinthians in Sunday school, people were drawing themselves away, looking at other people, comparing themselves with other people instead of Christ. It's important to compare ourselves to Christ. In verse 30, it says, "And when Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house in Acts, he received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, forbidding him." You know, he was a prisoner. The question I have to ask you here this morning, whose prisoner are you? You know, we all have records in glory. We have a record in glory that God knows who we are. But you have to ask yourself, do I become ensnared and entrapped in my own life? It's real easy to. You know, habits are good as long as they're good, not the bad habits. So we go on here. It says that it has come evident that the whole palace guard and to all the rest of my chains are in Christ. Verse 14, most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, as much more bold to speak without fear. I think when we break loose of those chains of bondage that we have, that we allow sometimes to get ourselves ensnared with, are trapped by there, that when we suffer, God can take us and set us free under the blood of Christ. God can set us free by fixing our attitudes. We talked about this in Sunday school, the problem with the church in Corinth. Our attitudes, how we look at life. And sometimes exhaustion and just emotional trauma can just do us in, just waste us. But God can bring up all those pieces and make us new creatures in Christ. But, you know, Christian suffering can often bring about very positive results. Keeps the world from becoming too attractive. When you're busy for Christ, you don't have time to be thinking about the world. Let alone look at the news. There's really nothing good in the news, you know. So you look at the good news, what the Lord is doing for your life. It can bring out the best in you. Absolutely, you know, I've seen some people since I've been here. I've seen the best in you. And I'm saying, oh boy, if this person's this good, think what else they can do for the Lord. It gives an occasion to silence the enemies of God. What are the enemies going to say? Nothing. They're looking at you and you're glorifying God, and there's every mouth is shut. And then also it makes us appreciative for things often take for granted. Look at Thanksgiving. You know, it's one thing that I was thankful for today. Lord, I'm not going hungry. You know, it's so easy to do without that. And how often if we got the gas tank on low, we're like, oh my goodness, I went by the gas station, completely forgot, you know. And just the little things, like yesterday we were at the grocery store, one lady we met here from church, and there's some groceries that fell out twice, moving our cart for her. She had to go to the you know what. So anyway, you know, and I was just thinking, my goodness, if I had my cart overflowed, which thank God for Kimberly, I'd be in trouble. What would happen if I'd lose my phone, lose my keys, or lose my wallet? I mean, you know, things I don't want to think about. But God knows. God knows where they're at. He'll take care of things. You just trust Him, and He'll work it all out. It makes us depend on God. It can purify us. It can make us sympathetic. It teaches us how to pray. Oh yeah, it does. And that's why I see you all here this morning, because you're living the life. You're living it as Jesus would live it. And you're like Mary and Martha. Martha was so busy, she didn't have time for the Word, didn't have time for church. And what I mean is that she didn't take time to stop and listen to what the Lord had to say. Mary chose the good part, you know. And Jesus said a loving rebuke, a kind rebuke. He says, Mary has chosen that good part. You've chosen that part that is not good. So pray. I'm going to encourage you all this week. Keep in the Word. Stay in the Word and pray. So Paul is coming back here. Says here in verse 14, and the most of the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ, having become confident by my chains of which more bold to speak without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife. You know, let me stop here. Some people today want to ridicule you and put you down because you're living your relationship, underlying your relationship with the Lord. You know, it's none of their business what you do. It's what you're doing for the Lord. And if you want to share what God is doing in your life, that's fine. But we need to take in this situation that, you know, some people have all the wrong ideas, the wrong thoughts. And of course, there were Judaizers that were coming in. There were false teachers that are coming in. And in Jude and in 1 Timothy, and there's a number of passages that warn against false teachers coming in and false people coming into the church that will try to do what? Divide the church, try to split the church up, try you not to come to church, put doubts in your mind, saying be careful. Already there were problems in Philippi, in the church of Philippians. There was a quarrel within the church between two people, which we'll address with later on. And, you know, it's always best to pick and choose your battles and stay humble. And God will lift you up in due time, whether or not you agree with something or disagree with something. God's in control and you're set free. What have you got to worry about? Let God take care of it. And it says here, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed to the defense of the gospel. You know, I love this illustration here. You have people who know of the Lord Jesus Christ who started these denominations. And, you know, they would tell you, like Martin Luther said this about Christians and about Lutherans. He says, how then should I, poor foul carcass that I am, come to have men give me to the children of Christ the name derived from my worthless name? No, no, my dear friends, let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians after whose doctrine we have. And that was Lutheranism. And you have John Wesley. He steps up to the plate. He says, wait a minute, wait a minute. I got something to say. I got a testimony. I have a praise to the Lord. He says, would to God all that all party names and unscriptural phrases and forms which have divided Christian world were forgot, and that the very name Methodist might never be mentioned anymore, but buried in eternal oblivion. He says, that's got to go. And then, of course, there was Charles Spurgeon. He says, I look forward with pleasure to one day when there it will be not be a Baptist living. I hope that a Baptist name will soon perish, but let Christ's name live forever. Point is that our foundation, our firm foundation, belongs to the Lord. It doesn't matter what name you call yourself. We are Christ followers. We should live like Christ. And the reflection that we had this morning with the Lord's Supper, hey, Lord, I got it under the blood. I'm growing. I'm learning things. I don't understand everything, but I'm with you. I'm married to you. just as it is the church is married to Christ. So Paul is here in chains. He's in prison. And you kind of scratch your head and you think to yourself, how can somebody live like that? And it says here that that Paul was appointed for the defense of the gospel. And he says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Don't get yourself into a point where you're down and out and you're thinking, well, you know, you don't know what it's like in my household. You have no idea what I've gone through. Feels like I'm in a prison. I'm locked in. You sometimes you look at things, situation. Susan Wesley, remember Susan Wesley? She had 18 children. 18 children. You're like, I thought there were 18 people at my Thanksgiving get-together. I didn't know you could have that many people. Charles Wesley turned out to be a hymnal writer. Amazing, isn't that? And John became a preacher of the word. J.C. Penney, he had so much money, he gave away 90% of his wealth. He lived off of 10%. He could have been chained. I've met very wealthy, I mean really wealthy people. And I said, what's the biggest problem in your life? I felt like one of these news reporters, you know, what's the biggest problem in your life? You know, these questions, and they're like, wealth? He says, it's a responsibility. I have so much. So what this J.C. Penney did is he gave away 90%. He had enough to live off of, you know. Here's one. Charlotte Elliott wrote over 150 hymns. You musicians know what I'm talking about. Maybe not. She wrote Just As I Am. And while Paul was praying, I, of course, snuck around back here, grabbed the hymnal and looked this up. It says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me to come, O Lamb of God. Well, it wasn't just that. She was an invalid. And a preacher came up to her one day and says, Charlotte, how do you know you're saved? And she was inspired to write that word, just as I am. I remember back in the day when I grew up, we used to play that invitational hymnal every Sunday. I remember sitting back there just as a shy person, wouldn't even raise my hand, but I accepted Christ into my heart. Invitations are great, but you got to live by faith. You believe it, and then you confess with Christ that he is his death, burial, and resurrection. So she is an invalid. She had chronic fatigue syndrome. This lady wrote 150 hymns. My goodness. What am I without excuse? I am without excuse when I look at people like that. Martin Luther, he was a prisoner in Germany, translated the Bible while he was in jail. John Bunyan, remember Pilgrim's Progress? He was arrested in England for what he believed in. What happened to him? He got in prison and he started preaching Christ. They couldn't shut him up. It was like, what do we do with this rabble rouser, you know, person? They said, put him in the lowest jail. In England, you can actually go down there. Of course, as you know, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He was a prisoner. We all have our prisons, but God can work it all out. God can set us free to be indeed in Christ. And I'm not telling anybody here who's been through the mill, so to speak, oh, you'll be okay. I'm not saying that. God can work it all out. You'll see the good in everything. Give him praise, honor, and glory. And God can work things out. Just give him a chance to, as my dad said, broaden your horizons. You know, think outside the box. Think about things that could be done here at church. Things that could be done at home. You know, take a step out by faith. When you don't see anything or disbelieve, you'll see it because you know it's true. Christ knows it's true. says here, so verse 19, for I know this, that this will all turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. Again, prayer, as we start in verse 9. Verse 19, and supply the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us the Spirit we need. There is a man called Vincent van Gogh. Vincent van Gogh. He was a Dutch painter. He accepted Christ as his Savior as a young person. Listen to this, young people. As a young person. He struggled with depression. Very much. You'll see his paintings in museums. But he struggled with. And by the way, depression is not a sin. You know, it's something that you get. And there's some of us here are suffering with different things right now. God bless you and God keep you and God protect you. And we'll keep on praying for you. He became cynical. Vincent van Gogh, and he walked away from the Lord. He became upset, and I want to encourage you here today. If you feel like you're going to walk away from the Lord, it's so easy to listen to your friends, listen to people that you know, even see the wrong doctor, and before you know it, as Pilgrim would say, he ran into that character despondency, became despondent. But you know what happened? I think it was evangelist came along and encouraged him and said, let's go. Come on, we have to get to the eternal city, the light up ahead, which is heaven. Come on. Grab somebody today, this week, and say, you know, I want to help you out. I want to be there with you. I want to pray with you. And even though I'm not there with you, I love you. And you know what? We're going to stick in this through thick and thin. We can do this and give our thanksgiving. Well, he walked away from the Lord. He even maimed himself. He started doing things to himself to hurt himself. And then God got his attention, and he started walking back to him. And it's interesting, in some of his best works, you'll see yellows in there. And they were asked, Vincent van Gogh, why do you do this? He says, because Christ, it's Christ, the light and the joy that I have. That's why the yellows are in his paintings. You know, you just stop and you think, start meditating on it. And you're like, Lord, do I have enough light today? Am I sharing my light? Am I getting the yellows out there in my painting, which is me that you've created since the beginning of time? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I have seen people transformed by the renewing of their mind. That is which is good and acceptable and right in God's sight. It's a miracle. I'm like, if I could just had a video of what I could show them what they look like. It's just amazing grace. So Vincent van Gogh said, you know, this is who I am. And his paintings were so beautiful. They had so much light, so much yellow in them. It was wonderful. Even though the man struggled with this, all the problems aren't going to go away. Because you know what? God gives us the grace and the mercy. He gives us people to help us, people who care about us, people are there for us. People are like, you know, even though I'm not here, I'm going to be praying for you. I can still write you a card. I can send you a letter. I can send you a text. You know, we need just to build each other up. Because sometimes we're not here. And we're like, oh, I miss that person. Where is that person? So we pray for them. And Paul's record was, as I'm closing with this, Paul's record was like, yeah, I'm in a dark, dungy, jail. Yet I'm chained every 4 hours or 6 hours by different Roman guards. And by the way, he was able to witness to them, lead them to the Lord. And people heard about what was going on there in Rome. They couldn't shut it up. By the way, the government was paying for his evangelism. Isn't that great? You know? I mean, look at all the good things in life. It's a joyful, joyful, we adore me time. So at this time, if you don't know Christ as your Savior online, Remember, your life can be turned around. God can take you out of the worst situations, and because He loves you. Accept Christ now, just as you are, just as I am. God will take you where you're at.